There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need, no matter where you are in life. When you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery. Code Wondery.
Welcome to the ID10T podcast number 1019. If you are in Chicago or the greater Chicago area, technically Schaumburg, I'll be performing this weekend, Friday the 13th of September and Saturday the 14th, two shows each night at the Chicago Improv. And then also in a couple weeks, I'll be at Caroline's in New York, October 3, 4, 5. And then a few weeks after that at the Irvine Improv. If you go to ID10T.com/tour, you can get tickets links for there. So come on out to that. Also, ton of new stuff at ID10T, some new Rick and Morty stuff. We have horror themed socks and some new ID10T swag. And Lydia just took it upon herself because she's amazing and the best. She was like, I just designed some ID10T shirts for you. So we're going to put those up soon. And they turned out great. So I really, really encourage you to go over. If you go to ID10T.com/signup, you can get info and stuff for upcoming events, merch, podcasts, whatever. Stay informed. And now let's inform about you, the ID10T community. Events at ID10T.com, like Kevin, who writes, just want to give a shout out for Adore Mini, the business my friend Julia started. She handcrafts magnificent polymer clay micro miniatures with astoundingly lifelike detail. Currently, she has a series of aquatic-themed charm bottles and is constantly working on new beautiful ideas. I've always been immensely impressed by her work, and I would bet others would share that opinion. Anyone interested can visit her shop, AdoreMini.com, or follow her on Instagram, Adore_Mini. Also, Charles writes, I'm a 47-year-old nerd who grew up on the original trilogy. Pat is a 34-year-old nerd who grew up on the prequel trilogy and is a walking Star Wars encyclopedia. We spent many hours together with Pat, mostly correcting my lack of deep Star Wars knowledge. It's comical all the time, so we decided to essentially record our conversations. See what we did there, they said? And launch a podcast. It's a fresh approach. It also serves a great way for new fans to learn and vets to revisit topics. You can find us conversations.com. Well done, Charles. Again, events at ID10T.com. This episode is my old friend Andrea Savage. Ah, she's the best. Damn it, Savage is so goddamn funny. This might be the fourth time she's been on. Is this number four? Oh, I should have gone back to count. Anyway, I'll have her on 1,000 times. It just, you know, she makes me laugh so hard. And her show, I'm Sorry, season two of I'm Sorry, is on Netflix right now. So you can watch it on Netflix right after this podcast. And then somehow I talked her into starting a podcast. The last time we were hanging out, I'm like, Savage, you're too funny. You should do a podcast because there's so much time in between seasons of your show. There needs to be more Andrea Savage in the world. And thankfully she said, okay, and now it's happening. The podcast is called Andrea Savage, a grown-up woman, #buttholes. And it will be available, I believe October 7th is the launch date. And I'm so happy she's doing that. She has some amazing guests lined up. Someone by the name of Chris Hardwick, who did it recently, but also Mila Kunis, Joey King, who was on the podcast, John Hamm, and many, 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 many more. I think she's doing about 20 episodes. So again, October 7th, Andrea Savage, a grown-up woman, #buttholes. And now here's this episode of the ID10T podcast, number 1019, with a grown-up woman named Andrea Savage. #buttholes.
Initiating ID10T protocol.
We'll be right back.
Is this an actual floppy disk?
No.
This one's ready.
No, it's a...
It would be a lot cooler if it was.
Well, you know, it's funny because they're about the size of those 3.5-inch floppies, but they're actually old Nintendo... They're shaped like old Nintendo game cartridges. Your brother Chris would be all over
them. I have never felt... so upset by a sentence you've said. Everything, it was like every nerd portion of you just bled out in one. No, these are not floppy disks. Actually, I know they're similar in shape, but it's actually the Nintendo.
Yeah, the look on your face is really funny because it's almost like eating a piece of candy you forgot you hated.
Yeah.
And then you just make a face like, oh yeah, I don't like those. Oh God, no.
That's to you?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like you.
No.
Just not what comes out of your mouth.
Just probably remembering a lot of those types of sentences strung together.
Oh, it really
was. That's right. He did used to say shit like that all the time.
It really was like, what?
Well, you, listen. So understand my position. So we have these coasters. The coasters are shaped like NES game cartridges. And you said, oh, are these real floppy disks? Now,
no.
I could just say no, but...
Or you could have said, no, don't be stupid. This doesn't look like a floppy disk, Andrea. Why would a floppy disk say Super Mario 2 Mario Madness? You could have said that.
I guess I could have said that. But I felt like, well, I need to say no, they're not floppy disks. They're not real floppy disks, and they're not floppy disks. But I can understand because of the shape why you would think these are the classic 3.5-inch floppies.
Classic
3.5-inch floppies.
I don't think when we were together you said as much nerdy stuff as you do now.
Well, because a lot of the things I was probably saying were like, can you hand me that beer? I mean, it was probably... I was a beer nerd.
Well, yeah, you always make it sound like you were like literally like just drunk 24/7 when we were together.
I mean, I say that more for comic effect,
no,
but at the time, I think I had just kind of started to go on a bit of a game break.
Yeah. I was going to say, you didn't really play.
I had to quit for a while.
Yeah. I guess I was in that little pocket.
You were in that pocket. I had to quit for a while. I had to quit games for years because I had that same kind of like, I will just stay home all day and play games and literally do nothing else.
I think, and I'm not a, like a, I don't even know what the term is. I'm such an old lady. I was about to say, like, I'm not a video game player, but that's not the term.
I mean, that's close enough.
I'm not a gamer.
You're not a gamer.
I've never played World of Warcraft or Fortnite. I've never even seen them. I have a daughter who's not terribly interested in it. But I have that, like, once I start a game, I can't finish it.
Yeah.
And I had that with Candy Crush.
Oh,
which
there
is
you
a
go.
Super lame, nerdy game. But I had to finish it.
Of course.
Like, it has an end that people don't realize happens when you're in the thousands and thousands level.
Did the end, is it like, do two middle fingers come out and go, thanks for all the money, asshole, and then wasted time, and then it just eats itself?
No, it just laughs. Like, it suddenly has volume, and then it just laughs at you.
Gotcha.
And then asks you, what are you doing with your life?
Bjork comes out dressed like a deer and dances through.
Hey, thank you for all your money. It's awesome.
I didn't spend money on it, though.
You didn't spend money on Candy Crush?
You
played the real way?
I played the real way. And then eventually they do. It's just you get to the end and then they add more levels. So now I'm not at the end anymore because once I
got
to the end.
They just keep moving the goalpost.
They keep moving the goalpost. And then I was like, I can't get back in that.
That's why they make a lot of money.
I know. But it was like, people were like, wait, you finished? Like, that's not okay. Like,
you crushed all the candy.
I crushed all the candy.
Well, I got, when Liddy and I were first dating, you know, I played the Nintendo 3DS all the time. And I was playing this game called Animal Crossing. And for her birthday that year, I think, or Christmas, I got her, she was like, why are you playing that all the time? And I got her a 3DS, and I got her Animal Crossing, and I think all she said was, oh, what's this? And then that cut to, like, hours later, her face was buried in the thing, and then she started catching up to me, and I've been playing for a long time, and then she really started catching up to me really fast. And
how did that make you feel?
You know, I was proud of her, actually. And she...
That's very patronizing.
I was.
All right.
I was slightly...
Did you also put in a little extra time?
Maybe I put in a little extra time. Oh, she's fucking catching up to me. Yeah, I gave you this. What are you talking about?
It's adorable,
about?
But also...
It's a game.
I'm the winner.
It's a competition. We don't really win Animal Crossing. It's...
What happens in Animal Crossing?
I You're know the mayor of a town full of animals, and you kind of run the town. And
is this real?
It's real.
Oh, that's the real.
It's the real.
The way
game.
You're saying it, it could have also been like
I could have been
and
being
then
sarcastic.
There's animals that cross the town.
Well, they are, and there is, and so you run this town. And you basically build up your reserve of currency, which are bells instead of money. And you...
Oh, my God.
Are you feeling worse now than when I was explaining the floppy disk thing? Or
it's
are you feeling better?
It's a similar feeling that's coming over me.
Is your jaw tightening and your mouth start? Are you starting to drool to prepare for vomiting? Or
yeah, it is that sort of thing where your neck starts to twitch.
To twitch a little bit, yeah.
A little bit of like extra
saliva.
So
much fun though. You catch fish and you plant flowers and you get all these different furniture sets and you can like decorate your house and you build up your house and you put in like businesses and coffee shops and you can visit other people's towns. And there's a new version coming to the Switch in I think March of next year that we're pretty psyched about.
Wait. So you just build a town.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you just crush pieces of candy.
But there's like a skill or satisfaction. There's got to be levels or something.
Well, this there aren't levels, but the game runs in real time.
Okay.
So whatever season, like, you
That's
know.
Stressful.
Yeah. And it's what keeps you coming back to the game. So around Thanksgiving, there's like a harvest festival. And then around Christmas, there's a... You know, like a holiday festival.
Do you have to buy gifts for everybody?
You buy gifts for people. They send you gifts. It's responsibility.
I have enough in my life. Why would I want to do a second life?
Because if you played it once, you would understand.
Okay.
And and there are like the community around a game like Animal Crossing is vast. So if you go to.
Sure.
Because you can design things in the game, too. So if you go onto Pinterest, there's all these, like, QR codes where you can design clothing and all this. And it's basically like a creative resource building game.
My daughter does games like this. She doesn't do Animal Crossing, but she is, like, the earlier versions of this. She does a lot of games called Toca.
Yeah.
And, like, it is, like, you build an apartment and then you furnish
just,
it.
Just
and you...
get her Animal Crossing.
No.
Yes.
Why? Because I need her to do more.
Yes, you need her to build furniture for animals.
Mm-hmm. She would, by the way, God, would she love that.
And all the animals are these just adorable little animals. And you have this little, like, poodle character who's, like, the mayor's assistant, and she kind of guides you through the town. And
is this for adults?
Listen, a lot of people ask me questions like that with a lot of the games that I play and stuff. It's for everyone.
No, I get it. And I don't mean, honestly, I hate people who, like, are like, I don't get games. You sound like whatever. I get it. And I'm sure if I got into it, I would never leave my house.
Well, that's the thing,
especially if it's in real time.
And that's what's funny about
what happens if you don't make the harvest and do the crops die?
No, I mean, well, yeah. So, like, I haven't been to my town in like 2 years. And so, what I feel like what really should happen in the game is like a fucking zombie apocalypse should take place, and you should have to fight it off and rebuild the town. But basically, what happens is the town gets really overgrown, things don't progress, and then you run into the townspeople, and they're real surly with you, like, "Where have you been?" You know, because you're basically their mayor, and you've just abandoned them.
It sounds like you're more than their mayor. It sounds like you like provide everything for these people, or are they maintaining their own farms and such while you're not there?
No, I don't think they really can, and so it makes me feel like I should pitch a movie where one of these towns just goes unattended for like years and develops and like becomes self-aware and develops its own thing.
And then a Black Mirror about
and then the user thing. Comes back after like 20 years when he or she finds the game, and then they basically rebel and overthrow
kill him.
Yeah, they basically have to kill him. Oh, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I got to write this down.
There's no way to record it.
We'll never have this again. I got to listen back now.
I forgot what it was.
You know what's interesting about this conversation is this dovetails beautifully into the concept of your podcast.
Oh.
Doesn't it?
Well. It does dovetail beautifully. first of all, I'm starting a podcast and I've mostly you to blame.
Yeah. I remember, was it the day that you came over to take our face swapping picture?
I think it was.
You came over here to take our face swapping picture mm-hmm. so we could post about the yeah. last time you were on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I said, Andrea, you really should do a podcast. And you're like, Chris, I don't have time in my life to do a podcast. And I said, but you should find it because you're hilarious. People love you. They love your show.
Let's not get crazy. People are fine with me.
I saw I'm sorry billboards all over town for months.
Those are not sponsored by the people.
And bus ads. But I feel like you're in this really great moment in your career where, you know, where there is an awareness of how funny you are. Like it's spilled over. Like people see it now.
Well, thank you. You were honestly, cause I was like, it wasn't even that I don't have time. I really was like, I don't know if that's something I want to do and put myself out there. And you were like, do it. Mm-hmm. And then I'd be like, maybe. And then I'd call you and be like, I really don't think. And then I'd start stressing about things like, but what if like 4 years from now, blah, blah. And you were like, 4 years from now, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I said you could do 10 episodes and then never do it again. But it was like you were looking at the podcast like you had to win Candy Crush.
Yeah, I was. That's exactly what it was. It was my Candy Crush. And I was like, but what if
no win game, no understand.
Seriously, if I don't win podcast, why now let's do go podcast?
Now let's go get the moose and squirrel.
By the way, but you're perfectly right. I was like, but what if, like, you know, 45 episodes in, I find that I've, you know, I'm a private person and I don't want to do this. You were like, just fucking try it.
don't do it if you don't want to do it.
And I was like, but what if I don't go with a network? And you were like, don't go with a network. Just fucking try
just do it.
Just do it.
Yeah.
It's been way more work than you made it seem like it was going to be.
Well,
I'm not going to lie. I've had a little time off for the first time in 3 years.
Yeah.
And it has been
stressful. If you're gearing up for it because you're lining up a bunch of episodes to kind of do in a very short period of time.
Yes.
So you can just scatter them.
Banking a ton of them because I start writing very soon or probably, you know, now. And when I start, you know, writing, I go under a rock and that kind of stuff. So it's you know.
I do understand. I mean, like, you know, Katie does 95% of the work on this podcast. And like the 5% that I do, I still feel like, God, that's a lot. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Well, can Katie come live with me?
You'd have to ask her. She's right
here. She's in the room. Katie? Yes. Oh, she just said yes. That's on record. That's contractual.
But in California, verbal contracts.
Verbal contract. Yeah. No, I am excited, though. It's called Andrea Savage, a grown-up woman, hashtag buttholes. And and it's really basically...
You put hashtag buttholes in the name.
Put hashtag buttholes in the name because I feel like, you know, I was always afraid of growing up meant getting boring.
Mm-hmm.
And I always was sort of afraid of it. And now that I am technically a grown person who does like responsible things, but also is still dirty and laughs at stupid things like buttholes, I'm like, there's a lot of other people who are similar to me. And I get a lot of people watching my show who go like, oh, you make it not look scary to be married or have children or just be a grown up. Maybe I could do that.
And you still get to retain your identity. You still get to be you and like the same dumb things you always like.
Exactly. And that's what I kind of was like, oh, I feel like they're looking at my show. And I'm like, I know a lot of people who do this, who are able to like pay their bills and aren't like, you know, running out in the street in like a diaper and like, you know what I mean? Like, farts, like, I don't know, like who are functioning people, but also have maintained who they still are.
Right.
So that's the kind of people I'm only bringing on, people that I know who are up for a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And we do a lot of would you rathers and games. And it's been really fun.
That's
and I'm
good.
Excited. Yeah.
I'm recording it tomorrow.
You are recording it tomorrow.
At the recording of this episode, I'll be recording it tomorrow. And I'm super excited about it because, well, first of all, what I think is really funny is if you start getting reviews on the Apple Podcasts app of people like, you know, I was really disappointed because I'm into ass play and I really thought there was going to be more ass play because they see hashtag buttholes. They're like, there was no, you know.
I would be thrilled. If that's my backlash, not enough ass play.
Your literal backlash. But I think what is interesting about it is this broader conversation of, you know, I feel like our generation, the Gen Xers, I feel like we're kind of the first generation that were granted this extended adolescence that has this very nebulous, not, I mean, our parents' generation, and listen, my parents are funny people.
Yeah, me too.
But I still feel like, you know, because they were baby boomers and their parents were the greatest generation who came out of the Depression.
Yeah.
And then so, you know, as our lives in this country have gotten cushier and cushier of the generations, mm-hmm. we've been allowed to.
We have the luxury.
I'm in my 40s and I still play video like Animal Crossing. Yeah. I feel like that's not something my parents' generation necessarily would have considered. Which is why when we were growing up playing video games, there was much more like, you need to get serious. Yeah. And now, like, the kid who won the Fortnite championship won $3 million fucking dollars. It's like, well, how much more proof do you need that these things can be adult at the same time if you want them to be?
If you want them to be. And also, I feel like now and, you know, I think our age and probably a little older and a little younger are the first – I feel like people are finally able to mix the old and the new for the first time. Mm-hmm. People are – like, you look at a picture of, like, my grandmother at 50, she looks 100.
People, I don't know if it's the old haircuts or whatever.
It's the haircuts, it's the clothes, it's the way you moved, it's exercise, it's all of it. And now you look at a 50-year-old and you're like, they look 35 or 40 or 45.
Is that because we
are old as fuck? Probably.
And to people who are, like, 20... do we look ancient? I don't know.
I think so. But not as ancient.
That's true.
It's all in relativity.
Yeah.
Not as ancient as like my grandmother looked at 50.
Are you watching, have you been watching Mindhunter?
No.
Ah, it's a great show on Netflix. But there's one agent on the show and his wife takes place in 1981, I think, mm-hmm. right now. And she just has this great, really tight curl haircut that's like super 80s. But I'm sure at the time it was like, this is cool. You know what I mean? We don't look like our parents and our grandparents, so we're basically just saying the same thing.
I could be living in a dream world, Chris.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, my mom looks, she's in her 70s. She looks great.
So mine too. Like,
they're stylish and they're, you know, and they're exercising and healthier. But I also feel like back in the day, if you rebelled, you had to be that Peter Pan syndrome, like, weirdo that, like, everyone else grows up and they're like, oof, that guy's really, I'm not going to leave him alone with our kids.
Culturally, we have Peter Pan syndrome.
But I feel like there is, what I'm finding that a lot of people I know, and I'm hoping this is what you kind of get, and we don't talk about it at length. It's more a little bit, like, fun and you know, a little bit show it, not say it.
You're going to say show it, not grow it.
It's a lot of show it, not grow it on this. So, you
it's
know,
more
tomorrow,
of a show it, not a grower.
you take your dick out.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's a show, but you know, you show
it's
it.
It's called hashtag buttholes.
Yeah.
I was prepared to take that out. I went to this groomer. Is that a thing?
Forget what I said.
By the
you
way,
take your butthole out and we see which ones are showers and not growers. You take your butthole out.
Take it out.
Yeah. And then we see which ones are showers and which ones are growers.
I don't want to see a grower butthole.
Nobody does. Everyone's hoping the showers win. Nobody wants a grower.
Sorry, guys. I'm a grower. I don't know what the... I think I have that voice. I don't know.
Because that's the voice of... But my point is it used to be... I feel like there's the Peter Pan syndrome. I think there's a balance. And I feel like I'm finding myself... feeling like I have a decent balance where I am like a lot of my life is paying bills and going to the market and raising a child and whatever. But I also still love a game night. I still love laughing about stupid stuff. I still play games. I don't know. It's finding that it doesn't have to be one or the other. You don't have to reject responsibility completely and become like, oh, you know, like that uncle that everyone has.
Yeah, of course. And I think that's what a lot of people put that on themselves because they think like, oh, I have these responsibilities now, so I have to do X, Y, or Z. Although it seems to me now there is much less of that than there used to be.
Yeah.
Because there's so much support, the internet, whatever, not to be that. But I do think it's great, and I do think there will be a sizable audience of people who will hear that and go, like, hear your show and go, oh, good, I'm not
alone.
I mean, like, I'm not alone, because we take it for granted because all of our friends do the same thing that we do.
Yeah.
And we live in a community of like, perpetual Peter Pan syndrome, ultimately. But, you know, to people who live in other parts of the country who maybe live in more sheltered communities, like, maybe they don't – maybe their friends are all – you know.
Well, I get a lot of people contacting me going, like, how do I make friends in, you know, at this age? Yeah. Like, how do I make friends in my 30s and 40s? Like, other than the parents of my kids' friends, you know?
Well, that's the beautiful thing about when you start to get older, because when you're younger, you just hang out with anyone who's in proximity because you're like, hey, whatever, you're figuring out who you are.
Yeah.
Then in your 30s, you kind of start to go through your first sort of friendship culling, where you're like, kind of decide like who, like what types of things you like to do, and then you hang out with people near those things. And then I feel like at a certain point in your 40s, you kind of go, oh, wait a minute, I think I can just choose who I hang out with and find people who have similar
how interests. Do you let those people go? What's your strategy? Because I've had mine, but what is your strategy of those people? Well, you're not going to confront
them. I think
them.
We talked about this the last time you were on, where you were talking about how, you know, everyone's got that one friend that's just
constantly
in crisis.
Yeah, I had an episode of my show, yeah.
And it's like, how do you break up with that friend? Because it's like, you haven't been listening to the advice I've been giving you for 20 years.
Yeah. And you're a disaster.
And I don't want to get pulled in.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get pulled in. I don't know. I mean, I you know, like, I think it's...
If you've been a friend of Chris Hardwick's for a while... What signs should you be looking for that the
being,
end is nigh?
that you're being friend ghosted?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think
it... I'm so busy. Well, oh my God, I would love to, but...
But sometimes the friend ghosting is not intentional.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem.
Because the more responsibility... You really... Much in the same way that, you know, in your immediate relationship, you... It doesn't just happen. Like, you have to... cultivate it and nurture it, and you have to make sure you have date nights and make sure you plan ahead.
Yeah.
And it's not that kind of like, let's just let it be whatever's gonna happen. It's like, no, because we have responsibilities, so we have to plan around or things deteriorate.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with friendships. You have to plan times to hang out with your friends. You have to plan events. It takes a little bit of work.
Yeah,
you know?
It does.
It takes a little bit of work, but how many people do you run into that you haven't seen in a year and you're at an event or something? Oh, my God, I love this person. I never get to see them. It's been a year. Let's have lunch. And then your lives are just both crazy. You both have kids. You both have jobs, whatever. You're traveling.
Working,
and and it just – and so I think the real trick is figuring out how to, you know, make time and get schedules to align. But I never take it personally anymore.
No, that's the other thing, is taking it personally. Everyone's so
caught
busy.
Up in their own stuff.
But I would say you are a perfect example of somebody. I mean, you have so much responsibility. You do so many things. And all of those things take so much work behind the scenes that people don't see.
Right.
But it is hours and hours and hours every day. You could work all day long and not be done.
Right.
But you also still have friends, you go do fun stuff, you enjoy your life and do things for, you know, that are fun, that make you laugh and make you enjoy yourself. And I think that's what people are trying to figure out. Like, how do I still stay a little more true to who I used to be and still also be married and kids and be in this world that is my reality, that I do have to do pick up and drop off and I have to do this. I think a lot of it is having a hobby. I think we're lucky in that our hobby really relates to our careers.
And there's so many things that are adjacent to our careers that are hobbies.
Yes.
So many creative pursuits.
Yeah.
You know, that it's – and again, we're in a place where it's brimming with creative energy. So all different – any kind of creative thing you could really want is in proximity to us.
Although I will say, like, coming out of season two of my show, because I go under for so long, it was like 3 years, and hadn't seen so many friends for so long, hadn't even seen a lot of my outer family. And I came out and was like, do I have friends anymore? What do I do for fun? Like, I literally was like, I haven't even had a day off in so long. I don't even know what I do.
Right.
And I felt very disconnected from everyone and the rest of comedy and this and that. And it took me a while and to really like push myself to like make plans and go see stuff and do stuff to feel part of it again, because suddenly I felt so isolated.
Well, and it's really important because we, you know, we create this, excuse me, we create this mythology that, you know, we're going to be so fulfilled by work and that's going to fulfill everything.
Yeah.
And then the times, I mean, I've been making more and more plans to hang out with friend groups because I find that the long-term effects of hanging out with a group of friends, it lasts longer than like a job win. You know what I mean? Like the edification of the soul of like, I hung out with a, you know, we just hung out with a big group of friends for a handful of days.
At the Hearst Castle?
Well,
I saw it.
Yeah.
And, what? And, I need you to walk me through what that was.
What? Like what?
How? What happened? Like you just were like, oh, we have access to the Hearst Castle today?
Well, no. It's we have to plan it out. Like it's because we, you know, I mean like – Lydia and I can just go up and
swim.
Yes. Well, the swimming part takes a little bit of planning.
Because I imagine the water's not kept ready for
people. It's fucking Arctic. And it is such a magical experience, but your limbs do start to go numb and your ears hurt. But you're in it, you're like, I'm just appreciating this as much as possible because not everyone gets to do this and it's amazing and this is part of history. It's clear that in the 30s, humans were a much hardier stock.
Across the board.
But it's, you know, the castle itself is owned by the state. It was donated to the state, so it's a museum.
Okay.
But the family still owns all the land around it. It's a working cattle
ranch.
Lydia has an inn. But, you know, we have a good relationship with the folks at the castle, and they're really lovely. And so, especially the museum director, Mary Levkoff, who is just delightful and knows so much about the history of the...
That's awesome.
I mean, we love the architecture and the art and the engineering feat. So we'll just go up and gawk at stuff.
And you got to bring like a group of friends?
We get to bring a group of friends and we go, we can't actually stay in the castle itself because it's a museum. It'd be like sleeping in the Louvre. Like you can't.
And
the building.
The problem is. Well, doesn't sound like Lydia has that much of an inn.
I guess she doesn't
have that
much of an inn.
You know what I mean? There's certain.
We can't sleep in any of the rooms. But you know, we'll go up and take a private tour and then, you know, when it's set up in advance. I mean, there are other places around the area where we can stay where her family still has residences.
Oh, and I was going to say, you mean hotels?
No, her great-great-grandfather built a residence on the – there's an even older – there's a building that's, you know, like decades older than the castle that her great-great-grandfather – because her great-great-grandfather, you know, bought – you know, whatever, 100,000 acres of land or something in the 1800s. And he used to take her great-grandfather, W.R., camping up at the spot where he ultimately built the castle. So it's this really lovely connection to his family.
So you stay in an even older, cooler place.
Well, it's a lot simpler. It's more rustic. It's not like, you know, the castle itself is... I mean, every
square. Do you realize how insane all of this sounds?
Yes.
Do you ever take a minute and go, like, the fact that this stuff is coming out of your mouth so casually? I mean, it's more rustic than the castle, but
I'm not humble bragging about.
No! I'm not saying that you're humble, but I'm like, there is a moment where, like, you just threw castle.
Well,
like that's part of your day to day.
To be fair, WR never called it a castle. The state dubbed it that.
I'm not interested in being fair.
He called.
I'm not interested in fairness. That's not my goal here. I'm talking about my friend Chris, just casually in a sentence, was like, it's more rustic than the castle, obviously.
You have to understand, you know how obsessed I am with architecture and art and restoration.
By the way, this is the perfect...
And so...
And I don't think you take it lightly.
No.
I think you are legitimately...
I am so humbled by the experience, and which is why, you know, even as much as you feel like... you can't move your arms anymore to swim. I don't want to get out of that pool because it's like a stunning, it's like swimming.
Can
in
I ask about the guest list?
What about it?
Of who made the list for this and the process behind it?
Well, it... So Lydia and I have an Amway pyramid. No. We, you know, just like folks that you know, like, you know, Will and Ann Wheaton and...
Seth, just folks that you know.
Seth Green.
Tomorrow when you come to my show, you're gonna walk me through the thought process.
Yeah.
Who didn't make it? You know.
Well, we can only take so many. We can only take a small group.
Totally.
Of people,
so there had to be some conversations. You and Lydia, you guys had to get real about who's still top of the list,
who makes the cut,
who's top roster. You know what I mean? And then also, if this person comes, they're out. I can't have them there without having the buffer of these people.
Well, I will say this: we seem to not even purposely.
Yeah.
But our group of friends are so...
You have a nice group.
Mellow, yeah. And like, no one drinks. Not that there's anything wrong with drinking. But like, no one gets crazy.
Yeah.
Because sometimes what can happen is, you know, if people go up to an opulent place that you're very privileged to go to, sometimes...
Like a castle.
A person could take it for granted, get drunk, think, these people, whatever, they don't, you know, they're rich. Because we don't have any friends like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone's very sweet, and we literally, like, most of the activity was us, like, there was horseback riding, we went and looked at elephant seals. No, but Lydia loves it.
Okay.
We went and looked at elephant seals, we roasted s'mores, like, it was kind of like grown-up camping.
Yeah.
Because, you know, most of the property is like a cattle ranch, so it really
was this one night, two nights?
We were there five nights.
Oh, Jesus Christ. This is a whole...
Nights. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And, but again, the castle, it's, like, it's so insane because every square inch of it is some masterpiece.
Yeah.
Like, again, it's not just the engineering feat of when it was built. And it's not just that Julia Morgan was one of the most visionary architects. I mean, they would disassemble castles in Europe and ship it like right up to San Simeon. They'd drive it up the hill. And then Julia Morgan would integrate it into the architecture and make it look like it was meant for that.
Who is the person's name that you're talking about?
Julia Morgan.
Julia Morgan.
She was the architect that WRU worked with. And
can I ask, back then, a female architect?
Yeah.
That's pretty...
Visionary.
That's visionary for everybody.
And she was, you know, I believe the first, you know, like, celebrated and noted female architect.
I would imagine.
At the time. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think when she had her period, she had to stop? Like working
again in the 20s and 30s, it was a hardier stock of person.
But also, they didn't have the same things that women have now for when they have their periods. So it was probably you had to take a knee. You know what I mean?
She was an architect. Maybe she constructed something.
She probably did.
She probably made the most beautiful and ornate period girdle.
Oh, you're right. She probably did.
That ever existed. But so beyond the architecture, he also. You have to understand that, like, right after World War I, a lot of countries started selling a lot of art to make funds back from the war. And WR was an art collector, and so he saw this opportunity to preserve and keep all this art in one place. So, like, everything there is some priceless. I mean, it's fucking crazy. And it's this beautiful symphony of art, architecture, and engineering, and... I could spend every day of my life just looking at every corner of it and soaking up and appreciating. I mean, like, I'm so the right person to go there.
I was going to say, you are the absolute right person to go there.
Yeah.
Like, it's not wasted on you.
So I don't mean to go on and on about it, but I'm very passionate about it, and I love it because, as opposed to a museum which houses art, the building itself is a living museum that houses art. And beyond that, you look at the landscape and you look at how much thought and detail went into the door hinges.
When you're up
where
there,
where everything faces.
Do you walk through just going, oh my God?
Yes.
Does it bother the people you're with?
Or I'm like, fuck, who would have thought of this?
Yeah, where they're just like, all right.
Take it down a notch.
Chris, because I was just in Park City this weekend for a couple days with my family, and... My daughter, we were on like a little hike, and she said, Mom, you're not allowed to say how pretty this is.
She's got you clocked.
She was just like, no one's interested. And I was like, first of all, I didn't say this, but I was like, fuck you. And I was like,
number two, I own you. I'm your boss.
Exactly. And now everything's pretty. My shoe is pretty. This asphalt's pretty.
Did you torture her that way?
Of course. She has to learn. Yeah, yeah. But it was funny. And I was like, God, do I... I think I am the person that's like in nature and is just like, God, this is beautiful.
You know,
and then I look around and I'm like, look at those trees.
You know,
God, it's beautiful.
What you're really making me realize, this is great for when Lydia and I have kids, but a kid is basically your own personal internet troll who calls out every little thing and
poke
holes in everything and finds ways to make you feel bad about just being you.
Totally. And I will say my daughter is so sweet and lovely. And she really, most of the time, she makes me feel like I am the most important person in the world. Like, she's like, mommy. But once in a while, she'll do stuff like that. And I'm like, you know what? Suck it.
You know what? You're not so hot either.
Yeah,
you got
exactly. Oh, you want to talk about stuff I don't want to hear you talking about? Really? All right. Not interested in hearing about Allie. And how she spoke in a weird tone of voice.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about a moratorium on that? And then we'll talk about me appreciating nature.
And so me thinking that the beauty in the world is, you know, so it just made me that, because I was like imagining you at Thurs Castle just freaking out about everything. And then Will Wheaton being like, all right.
No, like, no, because someone like Will is freaking out about it, too.
All right. But somebody had to not be freaking out about it, who whispers to their wife.
Jesus Christ,
we get it.
When do we get to go in the pool so I can just get an Instagram video? No, we don't. Thankfully, we don't have any friends like that. Everyone, like the level of appreciation, there was no one taking it for granted. There was no one who act privileged. Like we try to move as quietly as we can through and try to be the example of like, this is how you should revere this and treat it and not, you know, like you're lucky that you get to be here.
Now I have a question.
Yeah.
Was there ever a moment where my name was brought up for the list or... I know we don't hang out socially, very often, really at all. And Lydia doesn't know me. I think we've met very briefly. But again, I just am wondering, because I assume the conversations were lengthy about who's going and who's not
exactly,
going.
Exactly.
And you probably went through quite a wide. You cast a wide net.
Yeah, we had the long conversation. Which exes should we invite? You know.
I forget I'm an ex. Not an ex, though.
Well, that's the thing.
I know.
It's like you're not, though. Like, and by the way, Lydia loves you and thinks you're hilarious.
How can she? I barely know her.
And Janet, too. Like,
I love Janet. Yeah. And Janet's great,
like, you know.
You were saying she loves Janet. I was like, I love Janet. Like, I was like, no, I'm good with Janet, too. Not what we're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, Lydia dated Jeff Goldblum before me. Should we invite Jeff? You know, like, I don't know.
I'd love to go.
Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be fun? I mean, this guy's nature found a way.
He'd appreciate it.
Here's the other amazing thing about the castle. When in the 20s, they, you know, this was before we understood more things about, you know, animals and their habitats. There were a bunch of animals brought for like a private zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And the vision was just to kind of have animals sort of roaming, free roaming the property. And so they had a handful of zebras, and the zebras basically got away and proliferated. And so now in Central California, there's just like 100 zebras that, so you're driving up the one, and it's like, and none of that land can ever be developed, by the way.
Wow.
None of the land can ever be developed. The family still owns almost all of it, but they donated some to this sort of like, preservation so that they can't, so that, you know, it's just, it will be untouched. So you'll see cow, fucking zebras, and then cow. And the zebras and the cows hang out.
I was about to
other.
Say, how are the zebras and the cows relationship?
We went to kind of look at, you know, we went on a zebra trek, was one of the activities that we did.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of just got to the top of this hill, and all of a sudden we were face to face with all of these bulls and zebras. And the bulls were, like, guarding the zebras, and they squared off with us. And so Lydia was like, okay, no one, just everyone walk away slowly. Don't run, or they'll chase you. And because she knows about these types of things. And but there was a moment where I thought, like, are we about to get murdered by bulls who are protecting zebras? What is happening in the world right now?
I'm going to preface this with, I don't want you to die soon.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I enjoy you being in this world with me.
I feel like there's a however.
But
yeah.
If you were to have to go, that is a headline for the ages.
What a way to go.
What a way to go.
Talking Dead host gets trampled to death by bulls protecting zebras in Central California castle environment.
I feel like you, if you wrote your dream headline of what would be of the way you die, I feel like it's not far off of that.
Well, the zebras, I mean, like,
right? Maybe every part of that, I feel like, is right in your wheelhouse.
It might be fun to get trampled to death by zebras, but zebras you can't get near. They do not. They are. You cannot domesticate them. They do not want
Good.
A piece of anything.
Good.
But it was just so strange how the bulls, the zebras, got behind the bulls. And maybe I was reading more into the relationship than was there, but it did seem like they'd formed this kind of like weirdly symbiotic relationship, and that the zebras were somehow a part of this herd of bulls.
Or
cows.
The bulls.
Or fucking the zebras.
I wasn't going to say fucking them, but like sort of some sort of cult situation where, or sure. like Scientology or something, where like the zebras aren't allowed out. And the bulls are keeping the zebras away from outer information. And it's...
Wow. I like this narrative a lot.
I'm just saying it goes... It could be interpreted a different way. That they weren't protecting them, but more keeping them as you know, slaves. So, keeping them
so
as
the,
some
so the
sort
one,
of...
So the one bull is like a Charles Mousson, if you will.
Uh-huh.
You okay?
I'm gonna need a break. Do we take breaks?
No.
I do, and I did see this on your Instagram. Fat cat.
Oh, the cat tissue, the butt tissue. Yeah.
Where did you get that?
Just on Amazon.
Really?
Yeah, I saw some article in my Apple News feed that was like, it was some BuzzFeed article about like, here's 10 weird things you can buy on Amazon right now. And that was at the top of the list. And I was like, yep, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm buying it right now. You can
get
a tabby version too.
Well, my cat is a tuxedo cat.
Oh, perfect.
And it also, we pull tissues out of his butt. So I feel like this is
the difficult
perfect.
Thing is we have to put them all in there first.
To get our cat to eat them?
Yeah. Really.
It's tough. It's hard.
It's rough
it's
going.
It's hard. But worth it.
Yeah, I like the idea that the cows have this weird zebra cult, that they are protecting the zebras from outside information. They've conditioned the zebras to fear.
To fear the outside
the
world.
The outside world.
Yeah, to not ask questions.
Right.
The narrative that the bull is telling the zebra is you are the devil.
You don't want man's world.
No. Yeah. It basically. And meanwhile, the poor zebras all, you know, they have a little bit of an inkling that they want to get out. But they're like, I can't be the only one.
This basically you're talking about the Jungle Book. That was almost the story of the Jungle Book about how, you know, like man's world should be separate. And, you know, man can't, you know, man mm-hmm. can't really be trusted because they have fire.
But that sort of is... I'm seeing this a little bit darker.
Much darker.
Much darker version of what the zebras are being told.
Right.
And what the zebras are being made to do.
Yeah.
When you're not watching.
So is this like a Heaven's Gate type of a cult?
Yeah.
Or more like a Jonestown type of a cult?
I think it's a mix.
Right.
It's the best of both worlds.
So they're gonna make them drink a Mooaid?
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Are you okay?
I feel like I should have learned a lesson in Mooaid. And moved along.
And that's no bull. We'll be right back after these messages. The cat butt tissue holder. Impress your friends.
It is cute. It's cute in person. I like it.
Yeah, I might have to get one of these for you for in celebration of your podcast.
I mean, it does go with the theme.
It does go with the theme. Yeah.
It does. Yeah. Well, I'm very excited to have you on. You'll have to cut everything we just said in this podcast, and then we'll reenact it on mine.
Yeah, we'll just get a transcript, and then we'll
By the way, just get it on... Katie, can you just send it over, and we'll just put it into
and
ours.
And then the cows are protecting the zebras, Chris. From them... the outside... I can't really read what this says here. Line!
I will say I'm nervous
about me coming on.
No, God, no.
Okay.
Please, how dare faces. You?
That's a classic savage. Oh God, no! What are you talking about? What a fucking
no! Just no. Putting the podcast out in the world. Just doing
weird to,
it.
Is it weird to have such a big cable celebrity on your podcast?
It is weird. I think you're my only ex that I'm having on. So.
No Jamie Kaler, no.
You don't need to start listing people. That's the only one you know. Yeah. No, I don't think so. No, not in this first go round. So.
But you're right. I don't think of like.
Yeah.
The whole idea of like. Yeah, I don't think of it that way.
I know.
Anyway. And so it's.
It was also so long ago.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a long time ago. Really long.
Oh God!
Oh God!
Andrea, the fast march of time. There's just no way to stop it.
Well, there's one way to stop it.
Yeah, you could jump into a cow cult
and
get trampled by a bunch of cows protecting their zebra friends.
I defy you to find a more appropriate headline for your death. I really do. I feel like if you read that, a deceased you read that, you'd be like, you know what? That delighted me.
Done. I mean, there's no question that was the time to go.
Yeah.
There's no question that was the time to go.
And you get Castle mentioned in it, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is big.
Yeah. Then I get tied to it forever. Then people start doing ghost hunting tours up there because they think I'm haunting the pastures.
Do you believe in ghosts?
No, but Lydia does.
Okay.
And do you?
No, I don't. But I'm still open to it. I had one weird experience once that I'm like, that was weird, and I don't really have an explanation for it. But I don't because I'm way too like logical, and this has to be explained to an annoying amount.
Yeah, and a ghost would be totally irritated by that tone of voice. never come
first
around.
First of all my tones of voices. My voice is not a soothing sound to the alive nor the dead.
So tonight, we're going to meditate. I'm going to guide you through for some relaxation.
If you're out there, say hi.
In
make
10.
Yourself known.
9. 8. Just let it all fall away.
First of all, I sound nothing like that.
No, I know. I'm caricaturizing it
How
a bit.
How dare you?
Much like the drawings you might get at like a Disneyland or like the, mm-hmm. you know, where they do the caricatures.
You mean a caricature?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. You mean sometimes classic caricature?
Sometimes I like to say words and then define them even though it's clear that the person mm-hmm. already understands what that
and
thing
the
is.
The term that you're using is the term that is exclusively used.
So you're saying there's no gray area?
No.
There's
no gray area.
Great.
There's no gray area.
Just making sure we're all on the same page.
We are all on the same page.
When are you going to start putting these out?
October 7th.
Oh, wow.
Will premiere.
Right around the corner.
Right around the corn. You just joked. Oh, God.
But there was no reason to shorten that word.
I know. I don't have
just
a reason.
Just drop the syllable. I just like to make right around the corn, you guys. Right around, like, corn? No, I don't
corner.
Like to say corner. It's just.
It's just. I think it's fun.
Like,
it's
like to
fun.
Shorten it. Yeah.
It's fun.
I'd like to shorten it. Yeah.
Right around the corn.
Yeah. Where the zebes are. Why don't you just say zebra? Well, I just, again.
Zebes.
I like to shorten words. I just think it's cooler that way.
It is so much cooler.
Yeah, so your pod's dropping oct.
Yeah, pod drop oct. Sevs. Sevs.
Mm-hmm.
ASAV.
Mm-hmm.
Grown womb. Yeah. Ash butt.
Perfect.
October 7th. On all the usual places. And also season 2 of I'm Sorry is finally coming on Netflix.
Oh, good.
September 13th. So probably you'll already be able to watch it there. So that's exciting.
That is exciting.
Yeah.
Because especially I know a lot of people watched it before, but that sort of that Netflix longevity, especially because like a comedy like that, comedies do so well on Netflix because people can just relive them over and over again. It's like, you know, we're watching Mindhunter now, which is a great show. But you can't watch a whole season more than once,
right?
Because it's an emotional journey.
Yeah.
But comedies like your show.
I'd love to say my show is an emotional journey, but I cannot.
You can't say that.
I cannot say that in good faith. It's exciting. It's cool to get, you know, it's on True TV, and then we get, you know, everyone watching it originally, and then Netflix. And there's a lot of people, I will be honest, who believe it is a Netflix show,
mm-hmm.
Which
Whatever.
Whatever.
If they're going to watch it, as long as they're watching it.
But
True TV doesn't want to hear that, but listen, but it does help.
But it does help. And all, yeah. And it really, so I'm excited because a lot of people have been waiting. So that's very good. And then I'm going back under to do season three.
That's exciting. Yeah. I'm so glad you're doing that.
Thank you.
I do. I think it, I'm glad you're doing it because I feel like it would have been premature if you were like, I just don't want to do this anymore. Like, I think it's good because the audience is built up for it. And I think it, season three is going to be even bigger. Like, it just, it seems so clear. It seems so clear to me where you're,
yeah,
where you're
and,
headed.
You know, it's, and again, like, I love the show. And any hesitation I had was truly, I think, exhaustion.
I mean, you do so much on that show to... Yeah. Produce and write. I mean, I know there are, you have a staff
of people.
And I have
lots of people. And I've got Joey Slaman and, you know. But it
you
is.
You're involved in
I'm
every
in
detail.
Every fiber of that show. I put like every molecule of me into that show. And it's, you know, it takes over a year to do 10 episodes.
Yeah.
So it's a long time. But I love it and it's great. I just want to make sure the quality stays up. And that's my fear. But again, when I was like, I don't know, Chris, you were like, you're doing it. So I feel like you're the person which you need to have in your life where I call with all my like anxieties about, well, I don't know, but what if the third one isn't as good? And what if I have used everything that I want? You're like, no, you haven't. Just fucking do it.
Yeah, because you, because you, you know, you have to have faith that you are essentially the, you have a way of, taking anything and re-expressing it in a really funny ways. And so when you feel like you're out, you might be out temporarily because, but the more you experience new things, like your comedy machine in your brain is so just beautifully formed.
Well,
you're always going to find ways to like, it's almost like a hay baler in a way where it's like you, like all the hay goes in and it comes out in these perfect cubes. And that's kind of, to me, that's where you're at as a comedy entity, where you can just express things in these perfectly formed comedy cubes. And I know it doesn't feel that way, but I just I have all the faith in the world in you, as you know. And so I just think I'm so glad you're doing it, because I think it would have been a shame to not.
It would have been ridiculous.
Yeah,
it would have been a ridiculous decision.
But you look at how many. It's like, you know, I know. From what I heard, you know, Flight of the Conchords, HBO really wanted them to do a season three of the Conchords show. And my understanding of the situation was that they were like, it's a lot, you know, like to write all those songs, to be in every episode, to shoot every episode, to edit every, like, it's just
the length of time
it takes. The length of time and also the amount of energy. And because you really, when you're doing that, you can only do that.
Yeah.
But I also do hope that you get to tour. I hope you get to take your podcast on the road.
I hope so.
Because I think giving your audience a chance to see you in person and hang out with them and see who they are and mingle with them.
I think
that's going to be amazing.
That's like one of my reasons for doing it. I miss performing live.
Yeah.
I love performing live. I mean, you and I met when I was still performing live and I was still doing Groundlings
still doing groundlings
and then did stand up.
Yeah.
And I love performing live, but the reality of my life is I can't go become a stand up. I can't get an hour together and go out every night and hone
it. But you can go do a podcast.
But I can go do a podcast and then I can go on tour, and I'm very excited eventually to be able to do that, you know, when season three is coming out and, you know, be able to go and do that.
Yeah. I mean, I think you have such a great voice. And, you know, like, your comedy voice, I think, is one that needs to be in the world more. Because I do think there are so many, you know, particularly adults who need to feel like they're okay and need to feel like, oh, I can make, you know, like you were saying, I can make butthole jokes and I can think, you know, I can have really high-end conversations. I can have a lot of my responsibilities and I can still laugh hysterically when a dog farts and not have to feel like, you know, oh my God, is there something wrong with me?
Yeah.
Why have I not grown past, you know? And so I am excited to see, you just seem so poised for, you know, everything that's coming next. And I'm so excited to see it happen.
Well, basically you're in charge.
Wait, what?
So you're the decider.
No, I don't want any more responsibility.
No. Well, you've got this. You've got Animal Crossing.
Oh, shit.
You've got that whole world you're in charge of that does not sound like you're taking seriously.
Now I have to play Andrea Crossing?
Yes. You have to build my career. You have to start my podcast. You have to do season 3. And if you don't log in...
I hate to tell you this, but you're far more capable than I am. Like, you, it is really, like, the idea of being so entrenched in one show, I think it's why I like to do so many different things, because it, you know, what stresses me out about what you do is I just imagine sitting in an edit, and you've probably done a handful of takes, as written takes, improvised takes.
Yeah.
And you're staring at footage where you can't possibly even fathom what words mean anymore.
Yeah.
How do you know, like, this is the take, this is the angle, this is the timing, let's cut out here, this is the perfect one?
I will say the edit is, you have to stay so incredibly focused, and you have to trust your gut constantly. You cannot second guess really anything. You really have to be like, let's go with that one. All right, I need to see all these in a row. I have like weird ways that I like my scribblings look like a mad man. Like, it looks like an insane person when you see my notes.
It's just written in poop on the walls.
Well, that doesn't look crazy.
Cut out at 23:12.
But there's like literally, I mean, weird numbers and letters and all this crazy stuff, because there are so many ways that puzzle can be put together, infinite ways.
Right.
But you have to choose the path constantly all day.
Oh my God. And
long.
Then like, if there's a take that you love, but it somehow fucks up something later in the episode, like, you can't really be too precious about anything. Mm-mm. Because then you would never get anything done.
Or when someone crosses the room, but they cross the room in a slightly different spot every single take.
Right.
And then the take that works, they're on the wrong side of the room and you have to sort, or they didn't quite sit down, but right before it, they were already sitting down. It's those things that you're like, Wah!
You could just add teleportation as a storyline so that people can just appear in different places without having to explain it.
Great solve.
You're welcome.
This is why you run my life now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also appreciate that my, my death was almost a literal Animal Crossing. And I appreciate that now I have something to look forward to, which is a really cool demise at some point.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to go easy.
I'm going to get stomped to death by an animal.
Listen, I don't know how it's going to be. I just know it's going to be fun.
And get punched by a gorilla or kicked in the head by a kangaroo.
If you got punched by a gorilla, I don't know if you'd die.
Oh,
I think
you
would
live.
You'd be a vegetable, or you'd be...
You would die... Instantly.
Really?
Have you? There are, like, they're monsters.
I just figured brain damage.
But I don't know if they would. I don't think they would punch you like a bar fight. They would like beat you with their hands and then rip your head off. And then it would just be like Predator, where you're just like,
that's not as fun.
No. That's not as fun.
No.
That's not as fun. Mm-mm. Kicked to death by zebras is delightful.
I feel like the bulls were going to get you first.
You think so?
Those bulls were.
Yeah, no, the zebras wouldn't have gotten their hands dirty.
Yeah. Well, again...
Who's controlling whom, then?
Well, in my scenario, the bulls are controlling the zebras.
Maybe the zebras are controlling the bulls. Maybe the zebras are kind of manipulating the bulls into thinking that the bulls are in control, but really they're in control because they were hanging back. They weren't getting their hooves dirty.
Or they aren't allowed to talk to anybody on
Let's
the outside.
Go to the phones. Is it the bulls or the zebras?
I don't know. I feel... My instinct, again, I wasn't there. My instinct is... The zebras are being kept in a state of, like, naivete and ignorance and being fed lies.
Right. The bulls made them think they were the only ones who could love them.
Yes.
And
yeah.
That they were essentially programmed, like,
Yeah, and that that if one of them left, they would die, and
sure.
Everyone
there was nothing else.
There's nothing else out there.
Yeah,
similar to if you left like a cult or something, like everyone will turn against you.
Right,
you have nobody to turn to.
Right.
And they also each bull is married to 47 zebras, men and women.
So you're saying there's a lot of zebra mutrimony?
Nope, I'm not saying that.
Well, it sounded like
I. So 100% never said that.
I feel
that.
Like if I keep doing this bit, it's going to land sooner or later.
You know that I actually do enjoy it, but I have to play.
You have to.
I have to play the bit.
This is part of our dynamic.
Yeah. Like, this is part of our thing.
Yeah. You have to look at me side-eyed.
Let's not forget to take a picture today.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because
we forgot last time.
We forgot last time. And then we had to get together. Well, we did go to lunch.
We did go to lunch. That was really nice. Yeah. And then I convinced you to start a podcast. So it turns out maybe we
– Oh, God. What are you going to make me do if I have to come back here?
Okay. You're going to start a textile factory. Then you're going to start making Andrea Savage scarves. A line of scarves with your face on it. I see it all over the place.
Oh, God. I don't want to make scarves.
I don't want to start a new thing.
Ever.
Well, that is interesting. It's like, how do you decide, like, what new thing you can let into your life, you know?
I think that's been the hard, you know, the hard part is just going, I took this on, and probably this was bigger than I should have. And I am excited for it to come out, but it's been a bigger project than I should have taken on right now.
I think my prediction is that one of the bigger challenges you're going to face over the next couple of years, you know, especially after you do season 3 of I'm Sorry, is navigating the options that are available to you.
Yeah.
Because you will get – and I know you have a lot now, but you will get more and more options and people will want you to do things and you will want to do all of it. And it's how do you select things that, you know, are not only fun and interesting but – take you in a direction you want to go and are also healthy for you balance-wise.
And I have a child and a husband and I like them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this, you know, what I do does take a toll.
Yeah.
It does. So, you know, it is balancing all that. But it's all exciting and, you know, I just fucking complain.
No, I know. But it is – but it's – stress doesn't always have to mean like – oh, the sky is falling. Like, stress is anything that you have to process, anything that you have to do. And you also have to be careful. I feel like I don't mean you. I mean in the general sense of you. Like, people need to be careful not to be hard on themselves when they get stressed when good things are happening.
Yes.
Because they feel bad. Like, oh, I feel bad. I should shut the fuck up. And it's like, no, you should still manage your mental health and you should still manage the balance because it does all take a toll.
Yes.
And, you know, you just want to make sure that you're...
You only have a certain amount of bandwidth.
Exactly.
And that is true. And I will say, I think I did a good job. I didn't take any other jobs on my little time off here. I didn't take even an acting job. I didn't do anything. So that I felt like there were a couple things I was sort of tempted by. And then I was like, no, it's out of town. I'd have to travel, be away. And no, I'm not going to do that.
So how many episodes total of the podcast are you doing this first go around?
I'm not totally sure yet.
Okay. Just kind of whatever you can squeak it out.
But it's max 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
Yeah. So, and we've got some great, great guests.
Oh, I can't
yeah.
wait.
Yeah. So, we're looking to grow, you know, launch it soon.
Oh, it's you exciting. Said October 7th.
October 7th.
And it's going to be weekly?
Weekly.
Okay.
Yep. It's going to be weekly and you're coming to do it. John Hamm's going to be tomorrow after
Fantastic.
You, so know that you've got that coming after you. So whatever you want to do to sort of prepare, you know what I mean?
Right.
To just know that that's, you're going to be compared.
So I'm opening for John Hamm, basically.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's
fair.
That's
I mean, listen, it's John Hamm. What do you want? You know, it's like, you can't feel bad about that.
You're not, he's not opening for you.
No, not at all.
No. So, you know, so know that tomorrow at the end of the day, we'll be like, well, which one do we think was better? You know what I mean? There's no way to not compare the two of you tomorrow.
I appreciate
so pick
that.
Out your outfit.
Yeah, I will. Oh,
tonight.
Gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it you? Because the note that I got was like, well, we're going to take some pictures, so make sure and drag a comb through your
hair.
That was me. That's great.
Of course. Well, because you never know when you go to a podcast if you have to, like, if you can show up looking the way you usually look.
Right.
Not you, but me.
Right.
Like, horrible. Or if you actually are, they're going to take a picture and you
well,
need to look
why,
presentable.
Well, that's why, you know, people always say, like, oh, I wish you would add video to the podcast. And I'm like, you know, I just
I
feel like it adds an extra layer of pressure for people who – and kind of takes away a little bit of the comfort.
I agree.
Of just being able to come in and have a conversation.
I've talked about that on mine too, where people are like, why don't you video it too? And I'm like, already I'm asking people to come – record it, take their time out. And then especially for women, it's like, then what, do they got to blow out their hair and they have to do their makeup? And yeah, we take a couple photos, but you know, those can be funny or whatever, you know, and you can put a filter on that, whatever, you can make them look better.
Right.
But if it's videoing the whole thing, then people feel like they need to like pick out a special outfit and like, it just adds an extra.
Yeah. It just layer. Adds an extra layer of pressure.
It's like the whole point of a podcast is to be able to just show up and talk.
And be casual. Yes. And not have to be presentational. Yeah. And anything that I think creates that layer of presentation just... It just takes people kind of out of the moment.
That being said,
yeah.
I'd love you to step it up tomorrow.
I'm going to show up in a rented burgundy tuxedo. And a, yeah.
I'd love you to put a little effort in. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Message right.
I really don't. I don't want you showing up in some weird suit.
I just wear a hat all the time because it's just easier to...
Why do you wear a hat all the time? You have a good head of hair.
Because it's just like... Because my hair is just flat most of the time. It's just, like, straight.
Well, what you're doing right now is weird.
Yeah, but I can't, like, I just don't feel like, you know, washing it every morning and, like, having to put the paste in it so it looks messy but isn't really. Right. You know, it's, like, the strategically disheveled look. And so I just feel like it's just easier to put a hat on. It's just laziness. It is pure.
Katie, do you prefer him with a hair done or a hat? She doesn't give two shits. She's like, I just got to get
Let me tell you something. Katie is thinking about her dogs right now. And
just looked at them.
What? What are they doing?
I have a dog with severe separation anxiety, so every time I'm away from home, it's
can stressful. You bring them here or Chris won't let you?
No, I could. She's an annoying animal.
Oh.
Yeah, but Katie is like the most animaliest lover of animal lovers.
We're talking about getting a dog.
Because you want more responsibility.
Well, that's where I'm like, guys, and I've put it off for so long, but I may be at the end of my wait. I don't know how longer I can hold everyone off.
How old is your child?
10.
Yeah, so oh boy. Then that's at the age where the kid's like, I'll walk it every day. And then they never, like, they'll do it once and then.
She's pretty responsible. I just am sort of like, if we don't get one now, like, while I'm in my writer's room, we're not getting one for a year.
Right.
Like, I'm sort of like, we either need to just bite the bullet now. I'm not going to get a puppy.
Right.
I'm going to get, like, a young dog. So whatever. It doesn't matter. Anyway. I'm looking at all the rescue sites, and I get all the emails sent to me every day of these dogs need homes, and I'm like, oh God.
Can I? And that's true, they do. May I offer an unsolicited opinion?
You run my life, so am I getting a dog or?
As the mayor of Andreatown.
Yeah.
I feel like it might be tricky to create a relationship with a dog and do your show at simultaneously.
Of course. None of this is a great plan. But when am I gonna, you know what I mean? I'm never
Liz and I have
like
been talking about it too. And you know, like number one, our cat would not enjoy.
That's,
like
we have that same issue.
You have the same issue.
Our cat, yeah,
would not enjoy.
Not be thrilled. Candy Purple would be not happy.
Your cat's name is Candy Purple?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Why does your cat sound like a stripper from the 60s?
Because she enjoys taking her clothes off, and she's older than most cats. Because my daughter, when she was 3, named her after two things she loved.
You know what? That is the purest, most perfect answer in the world.
Thank you for turning it so dirty.
Well, I didn't know that to begin with. There was a lot of information I did not have.
Okay.
Prior to that joke.
Yep. Candy Purple.
Our cat Anubis is...
Anubis?
Anubis, the Egyptian god of death, who is technically a dog god. She said the only times he's ever been around other animals, he like puffs up and gets real angry.
I have no idea what my cat would be like around any other animal. I imagine it's not great. We rescued her when she was a little kitten, and she's never been around another animal ever.
So you have no idea if that would go well or not.
She's a shy. She's very loving and very social, like super loving, sweet cat. But I doubt that she's going to be great with a whatever. Listen, I'll call you and then I'll be like, I don't know. Da, 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 and then you'll go just
start a podcast.
start a podcast about your cat.
You're supposed to be the one who just says, just do it. Now with the dog, you're pulling back?
I'm only pulling back because I feel like we need to pull back. Like,
oh, so this is more about you guys.
Probably. Well, it's just because, you know, cats can get as much attention as dogs, but I feel like they don't necessarily require as much attention.
Oh, of course.
As dogs, and dogs really need to be engaged a lot. Yeah. And really need to be. And we also live in an area where it's kind of difficult to walk.
This sounds like your. This is your thing that you're going through in your head.
Will you call my wife and tell her we can't get a
dog? Tell her that you can or can't.
Tell her we can't get a dog.
Okay,
right.
Yeah, I was like, there's something going on.
I love dogs, but I also,
you and I, when we were together, adopted Scott.
Scott. Oh, poor Scott.
Why?
He passed away.
He did?
Yeah, he. Well, when Jan and I split up, Scott stayed with Janet.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she was always so wonderful about, like, you know, you can take him, you know, if you want to take him anytime. But we didn't thought it was better to leave him in the house that he was in.
Yeah.
She also had a cat who was Scott's best friend. And I just felt so, I was traveling so much of the time, and I just felt like, I'm going to take this sweet dog, and he's just going to sit in an apartment that is not his place, away from Luca, the cat.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and Janet and Brandon take such exquisite care of the animals too. And so, yeah, New Year's Eve, Janet called me last year and said, look, it's Scott's, he's deteriorated in the last few months and he's not doing great. You know, I think we're going to have to let him go. Do you want to come say goodbye? And so New Year's Eve, I went over there, and then the doctor came over, and we all, like, what a really depressing way to end the podcast. But we all got to, you know, like, sort of carry him off into the next world. And it was heartbreaking and so lovely that she included me in that. And it was just devastating. He was just such a sweet.
He was
like, you know, like 16 and a half.
I was going to say, because, I mean, we were together when you adopted him.
Yes.
I mean, that was.
He was a rescue.
A million years ago.
And we thought he was not going to make it then.
Remember, he got really sick?
He got this really bad cough, and the vets. He was only a few months old, and the two different vets were like,
"We don't know.
Don't get attached to this one."
Yeah,
and so,
and I remember, it's such a weird memory I have of staying up like two or three nights up, like all night long with the dog, and then I was driving, I think, over to your apartment. I got pulled over by a police officer for, like, you know, when there's like a left-hand turn lane that you're coming up to, but like you can't get up to it, but you can see no one's in the left-hand turn lane.
Sure.
And you go a little into the left, and then you pass a bunch of cars.
Of course.
And you get the left-hand turn. Well, evidently.
That's not allowed?
Evidently, they poo-poo that.
Oh, thanks a lot, California.
So I hadn't slept in like 2 days. I was so upset about the dog because I get so attached to animals. That's the other problem. And he pulled me over. And he was like, you know, whatever, do you know what you did, blah, blah, blah. And I burst out crying. And I'm one of those people that's like, I don't cry for a cop. Fuck you.
Nice try, cop.
Yeah, but I'm also like, not one of those people that's like, I'm going to cry and get out of my ticket.
Yeah.
And he was like, is everything okay? And I literally just, like, I was like, my dog is dying and I've been up for 2 days.
Was he like, okay, I've heard this one before.
I mean, it seems so cliche, but I mean, I was like, it was like my breaking point.
Yeah.
Like, I was tired and exhausted and worried and like sobbing, like could barely get the words out. And he was like, it's really nice to see that people still care about their animals.
I'm going to have to impound the car, though.
Literally, he was like, but I'm still giving you a ticket. And I was like, I'm not trying to get out of the ticket, you asshole.
Well, that cough in particular sounds like a death knell, because it's this it's this really guttural.
It was so sad.
And they said it could either be kennel cough or it could be distemper.
Yeah.
If it's distemper, like in a dog that's only a few months old. And so, but he turned a corner.
And
he, you know, and he just ended up being the best.
He was best dog.
Just such a sweet dog. And also had an amazing life. He just had such an amazing life. And so, you know.
No,
it was,
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, it's okay. He lived a long time. And, and thank you to Janet for that. And now she has, and she had gotten him a pal named Whitley, and now she has Jasper. Like, they rescued another, they were fostering a dog.
Great.
And then, so now they have Jasper. So all good. It's, you know, these.
So it sounds like they.
Well, these pets, like, they come into our lives.
Oh, God,
and
here we go.
You know, it's,
I'm not calling Lydia and saying you can't get a dog.
They just, it's so sad when they. Oh.
I know, but that's life.
I mean, my poor mom still hasn't recovered from, like, her last two dogs. And they lived long lives. And if you're a dog and you end up... If my mom rescues you, your life is fucking sweet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know. But it is real, real hard.
What I'm hearing is my ridiculous weird fear things when I was calling you about, like, my podcast or should I do whatever. And you were like, yeah, just fucking do it.
Just do it.
That's how I'm hearing about you and Lydia with a dog. Like, you have no reason not to get a dog. Literally, yeah, you right. have no reason
no,
not to.
No, I know. You're right. You're right. Fuck.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if, I mean, I'm.
Name it after me.
Andrea Savage the dog.
Yeah.
That's a weird.
First name, Andrea Savage.
And then Andrea Savage Hurstwick.
Yeah. Exactly.
I see no problems with that.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for you. Like, it's sort of ending. I didn't mean to take it, like, into sad dog town. No. But it was also beautiful at the same time.
But, I mean, he was a fantastic dog.
And
I did not know that.
And so anyway, I am very excited for your podcast. Anyway, the dog died. So your podcast.
Butthole. #. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. But I am excited that you're doing this podcast, I'm excited to do it. And
it may suck also.
It's not going to suck.
I don't think so, but it could.
No, it isn't going to suck. Okay. It's just not going to suck because it's like you don't have to do anything to be fun and funny. You just are. Like, you don't have to. It just is.
But you don't want to just do a podcast where you're just like, do nothing. Like, there's no point or structure. You know, it's trying to find its lane.
Yeah, but you're the point. Like, you're the reason why people listen. And also.
I think you're overestimating. I think you're overestimating people's interest.
But I also think it'll be a nice thing to tide, especially fans of your show, over while they're waiting for new episodes. They'll still get to, you know.
Yeah, and it's a good way for me to be able to feel like I'm connecting with my fans in that time and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so
yeah.
Your podcast launches October 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to do
Season
it.
Season 2 on Netflix.
Season 2's on Netflix.
Netflix, I'm sorry. And you better bring it tomorrow because the entire podcast is resting on it. My.
Where are you going?
My.
The car drives away. Thanks for being here. Enjoy your moo-rito. Katie just pulled her headphones off and dropped them on the.
That's the appropriate response. That is the appropriate response.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
That was the ID10T podcast number 1019 with Andrea Savage. You should watch season 2 of I'm Sorry on Netflix and also her podcast when it comes out. Thanks to Andrea for coming back on. And thanks for having me on her podcast. Now, let's talk today. I saw a great email on Ryan Holiday's email list, dailystoic.com. Read it every morning. It's just nice. It's short, quick little tidbits, stoic tidbits to wash down with my breakfast. And there was one a couple days ago, and the subject was, "It's Okay to Want, but Not to Need." I thought that was a really interesting concept because, I think there's some debate in Stoicism about, like, well, your life should all just be about virtue, and you should never, you shouldn't really have possessions because that sort of clouds your view of the world, and you're living in service to those possessions, and you don't need them. But then the email sort of talks about, like, well, it's okay to want stuff, to have stuff, to enjoy the fruits of your labor. I mean, you don't have to necessarily live in a cave to be a successful Stoic philosopher. I mean, you should enjoy your life. And then it goes on to talk about Chrysippus who came up with a better formulation. I'm quoting. Basically, he said that a better way to think about it is need versus want. If a person needs to be famous or needs to be rich, they are vulnerable and often unhappy. That's obviously not wisdom, but does a wise person have to actively avoid making money? Must they live in obscurity? That seems silly. The wise man, he said, is in want of nothing, but can have and enjoy plenty. Meanwhile, the fool can make sure of nothing, but desperately wants everything. So it is just this idea of need versus want. By the way, just in case you don't know, Chrysippus, ancient philosopher who historically died of laughter. There's one account of his death that says that he got really drunk at a wine feast and then died. But then the other account, he was watching it. I'm reading this off the Wikipedia page. He was, so you know, you can go see this. I'm not making this up. He was watching a donkey eat some figs, already funny, and cried out, "Now give that donkey a drink of pure wine to wash down the figs." Whereupon he died in a fit of laughter. He fucking cracked himself up with his own joke. His own donkey joke. Now, if I die from laughing at that, I mean, that's a Python sketch. That's the Killing Joke Python sketch, almost. So I, first of all, thoughts and prayers go out to the family of Chrysippus for dying of laughter. I mean, if you're going to go, that's not a terrible way to go. But the idea of need versus want is just an interesting one, because if you were to take stock of your life and write down all the aspirations that you have, what things do you think, you know, oh my God, I couldn't live without this, or that you need for your identity? Because those are all ego-based, and things can, you know, circumstances can change, things can go away, storms come in, wipe things out. Like, you just don't know. And if your identity and your ego is tied to things or status or you know, your possessions or your money or whatever, that's fluid. You can't control that stuff. And then, you know, if you make a bad investment, or if you, you know, you lose the money or whatever, then what are you left with? That was your identity. So just don't put it in that. It's okay to have those things. It's okay to treat yourself. It's okay to, you know, to want things. But again, the key word is not to need them. Don't need them to survive. And I understand, you know, in our kind of status-hungry world on social media, our economy of likes and hearts and upvotes, that it's difficult to not want that, because we all want to feel significant. We all want to feel like we're doing well or contributing. But, you know, can you find it within, can you find that metric within yourself, within your soul, because you know that you're a good person and deserving of love and deserving of good things without having to use exterior reference to attain that? So that's it. Just figure out what it is. And the other thing too is that when you're chasing after something, a job or whatever, and you're so desperate to need it, it's that desperation that I feel like, you know, the world can smell it a mile away. You know, it's the people who kind of feel like they don't need anything that, for whatever reason, I think, you know, the things just get heaped onto that person, because I think there's that sense of desperation where other animals are like, that thing needs something. He might be injured, or he might be this or that, you know, just on an old biological evolutionary basis. But I don't know, maybe I'm making that up, but that's kind of how it feels. And so you can remove desperation from the equation by not needing everything. Obviously, there's some things you need. You know, you need air, you need to eat, you need some money to live and survive. So I'm not saying, like, you don't need anything. But of the things that you write down, of the things that you want in your life, some of those things you can want as opposed to needing them. And it just kind of opens up those bigger conversations about, you know, working on yourself, making sure you feel like you're enough, because you are. And, you know, breaking down whatever sort of, you know, old wounds are festering down in there that you can pluck out and deal with, so that you can resolve that stuff and feel better about yourself. And damn it, you should feel better about yourself, because you deserve to be happy. That is my message to you. And do your best to want versus need. And I hope you have a great week, weekend, whatever it is. Again, if you're in the Chicago area, I'll be at the Chicago Improv September 13, 14. Then in a few weeks at Caroline's in New York, and then a few weeks after that at the Irvine Improv. And then in December at Tacoma Comedy Club. So idtnt.com/tour. And thanks again. All right. I appreciate you. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. I need you to have a wonderful day. Or I want you to have a wonderful day. You decide.
ID10T scanning complete. Enjoy your burrito.
I feel like I was blindsided.
Because it's a competition show.
From the producers of Jury Duty and The Bachelor.
We have scoured the earth for the 14 greatest reality contestants that were available during our production window.
Comes a reality competition show about reality competition shows.
Nobody has dared to find out who is the actual best at just being on a reality show. I'm your host, comedian Daniel Tosh.
Is win or go home.
Each episode, our contestants will face new challenges that will test their strength and lack of life skills for a chance to win $200
million.
$200,000.
Prepare, because it's about to be ugly, crying.
Lots of fighting.
Tayshia, I have to defend myself.
Celebrating 25 years of reality TV with your favorites.
I have diarrhea. You cannot do this to me.
What in gay hell have I got myself into?
The GOAT. Stream free on Amazon Freevee or Prime Video.